Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret's just arrived collection of swim and other sun ready silhouettes.
Pack your bags with new styles from the Very Sexy collection, like the made to be seen Very Sexy push-up bra in on-trend hues like green, citron, and black shine.
Rewind to the future with the VS Archive swim collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s.
Plus, mix and match with their wide range of bikini tops and bottoms to find your dream suit.
Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world.
The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league, starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill.
FX's Clip, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two Teas in a Pod with Teddy Mellencamp and Tamara Judge.
Good morning and welcome to Monday's Two Teas in a Pod with myself, Teddy Mellencamp, and
Tamara Judge. Hey, Teddy.
Hi.
Are you home now?
I'm home. This weekend was really fun. It's the first time I've shown in a horse competition in like a year. And
wait. You were showing?
Yeah, I showed too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You didn't tell me that.
I know, both me and Slate showed, and I have been hesitant to show the same time she is because I've been worried about conflicting schedules and like me showing because there's so many different rings.
Yeah.
But it actually worked out perfectly, and then Edwin came and watched us, and it was really fun. The weekend was great, and then the hotel let us check out late. So after we were done showing yesterday, we had lunch at the Montage, and it's a beautiful day. I'm in such a good mood going into this week. I'm like, gosh,
good.
Yeah.
And ironically, you were showing walking distance from my house, which is so funny. Like, you, the equestrian center that you're at is literally walking distance from my house.
Well, I almost walked to your house because
yeah, to the bathroom.
Ubers are so hard to get in Orange County. They kept canceling on me. So
yep,
Cruz and Edwin left early one of the days and I had to get back to the hotel. And so I called an Uber and honestly, like 20 of them were canceling me. So we kept just walking further and further towards
yeah, it's a pain in the butt. I can barely get it. I hardly ever Uber, but when I do, it's hard inside the gates where we live. They don't want to come in here.
I know. They're like, oh, no, that's going to get too far. But
well, that sounds like a much better weekend than I had. First of all, it took me 2 days to recoup from New York.
Of course.
2 days. I'm like, what is wrong with me? Like, I was exhausted and just didn't want to do anything. And then Sunday, I had to go pick up Bronx's ashes. Aww. So that was an interesting experience. I've never had to do that before. Literally, it's in this weird industrial park, not in the best part of Orange County. I go open the door. It's just a desk in front of the door with the whole wall of boxes of ashes of different dogs. And then it's like, she gave it to me and it's like, in a way that she expected me to like, say something or burst out into tears or anything. Like, she was like, and here's your boxes of ashes. I mourn with you. Like, something like
that. Oh my
God. I mean, it was like, I don't even know you. Give me my box. And then right. I got my car, put him in the seat next to me. And then I'm like, you know, acknowledged it and got sad there. But I'm like, lady, I don't know you.
You're like, hold on. I just opened up and saw 27 other dogs.
Yes. Yeah. Give ashes. Me a moment. Do you Give mind? Me a moment. So the thing is like they came in a box with a plaque with his name on it, but the box is screwed together. And I had bought several memorial boxes to give to each one of the kids that has like his name and there's a picture to put a place to put his picture and all that. I'm afraid to unscrew the box they and gave me and ashes go everywhere.
Cause you see that in the movies.
Yeah. And then the box is really heavy. Like Eddie picked up, he's like, whoa, this is heavy. And I go, he was 95 pounds. It's going
to
be
maybe
heavy.
This is a job for Eddie to do.
I'm like, I just don't know that I want to open that box. Are they in plastic, people? Tell me, let me know. Is it in a baggie or is it just loose inside of these?
They're in a bag inside the box.
Okay, you can actually open your box.
I can open my box.
So this one's screwed together. So I'm like trying to shake it and it's really hard to tell if it's in a bag because it feels like it's really packed. And when I went to go pick them up, there was different size boxes.
What I would do when you open the box is have it like over like a big bag of something so that you open it. If it does spill over, that can be some of the stuff that you put into the additional boxes you've made.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And then... packing for Italy. Oh, so Eddie tells me, he's like, I don't think you're going to like what I'm about to tell you.
No.
What? He goes, I've been reading up and with the airline so messed up right now, they're losing luggage right and left and we have two connecting flights. He goes, just be prepared that your luggage might not get to you for 2 weeks. I said, I will be home in 2 weeks.
Can you just cram it all in a carry-on?
For 9 days? Maybe I'm taking because it's hot there, so I'm taking a ton of just sundresses. Which
that's what I'm saying, sundresses and comfy flats.
So I'm
you could cram them all in.
Let's talk about comfy flats. I did myself no justice going and walking in heels with my broken toe. So now the whole top of my foot is black and blue. It's like I think the blood's just draining down, and I had to order those comfy cloud. No. Slip-ons from Amazon. They're like a slide, but they're made of memory foam.
I own one. I own them.
They're so ugly. They're so ugly.
They are really, really comfortable.
And the only pair that I could get were tan and pink. So that's what I have. You know, of course, I have nice Gucci ones, but my foot is so swollen that it hurts to wear. So that's that. So I'll be walking around. I am going to meet Carrie Duber and her husband in Switzerland.
Oh, fun.
On Wednesday. They go there a lot. So they're going to hopefully show us around a little bit because it's a first time in Switzerland.
Well, that'll be good. Well, also at the horse show this week, I was just strolling around, like going into, there was like a retirement ceremony for one of the horses that I used to ride. So I'm walking in and this woman stops me and she's like, hi, Teddy. And I'm like, hi. And it's Angie from Salt Lake City, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Wait, Angie, the girl that was like the friend?
Yes. I think she's a friend of this season. Her daughter also rides. So she was there. And so we met. She was really nice. I met her husband, her daughter. But I was like, such a small world.
I didn't know that equestrian center by my house was such a big deal.
Oh, it's all the rage. And this week was World Hunter Rider Week. So like everybody goes that wants points.
And then they have a big rodeo in August. I've never gone.
And concerts. It's really.
Well, I hear the surrounding people in the retirement center do not like that they have the concerts. It's a big talk about around here. So.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, speaking of talkabouts, let's start today with housewife headlines because there's been a lot.
Before we do housewife headlines, I want to tell you about a good recipe that you need
in your life.
You can cook this.
Okay.
Do you love pancakes but don't eat pancakes because of obviously
sometimes
the carbs, the calories? Okay. This, Eddie made it. Of course, he saw it on TikTok. It is one banana, two eggs. You blend it up. You cook it. We use ghee. I don't know if you use ghee, but
it's
the good fat. So cooking that, it is so good, filled with protein.
That's it? One banana, two eggs, and some ghee?
Yeah, well, ghee, I just put it on the pan. Yeah. That's it. But the one thing I will say, they're a little thin. So today we made them. We put a scoop of protein powder in it to thicken it up. And it is so good. It just tastes like just like pancakes.
Well, when you see this recipe on Go All In by Teddy, don't be shocked.
Yeah, no, it's a great one.
Should I say recipe from Tamara, from Tam and Eddie?
Do you also do the banana, oats, protein powder, and you bake it and you can make cookies?
Oh, yeah. Those are delicious. Yeah, like the little protein balls.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like those.
Kind of like, but tastes like banana bread.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now you're making me hungry, Tam.
Oh, the pancakes are so good.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim, cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes.
When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles, like the made-to-be-seen very sexy push-up bra from the Very Sexy Collection. In on-trend hues like black shine, green, and citron.
For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat.
Because life is better in a bikini. Rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s.
For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage, from full to cheeky to minimal. Now in this season's must-have shades and patterns.
Add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony.
Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello! Acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, We'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table because geek culture is pop culture. And we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we can go into housewife headlines.
Housewife headlines. So it kind of looks like to me that Kathy is potentially doing some damage control after seeing the mid-season trailer. There is a lot of interviews. I mean, there's one with Bryce Sander, but they're everywhere now, where she's pretty much saying that she doesn't have... that everything's great with her and Kyle at this point, and that she only has drama with one of the women, and, you know, super chill and laid back about it, just saying how she was tired when it happened and just moving it right along. However, this is where it gets a little tricky. Kathy and Kim did back-to-back interviews.
Did they contradict?
So... once Kim came on, she pretty much is saying, like, you know, this is, I'm paraphrasing, but Kim stayed out of the Kyle and Kathy stuff until a couple of days ago. And then she's trying to play peacemaker by saying, I love you both. I hope we can all resolve this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
This is so confusing to everybody because of the last time we saw Kathy, she was making a baked potato with caviar, or probably not making it, but serving a baked potato with caviar. So I feel like a lot of people don't know about, is this about their potential fighting and coming up episodes?
Well, it's because the mid-season trailer came out, and the mid-season trailer, you can see.
You see fighting.
You see fighting, you see women mad, you seeing, you're seeing a lot going on. And I think Kathy is probably hoping that she can control the narrative through the press prior to it happening.
It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, no. Don't we all wish?
So she's trying to get on top of the press that she potentially thinks will come out.
Correct. So that happened.
Good luck, Kathy.
Well, speaking of, we'll keep on Kathy one more second, which is, Kathy Hilton made a big mistake on Saturday, July 23rd. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star accidentally shared her phone number publicly on Twitter. Hilton sent a message to a company called Teacup Tales in an effort to inquire about a dog named Mila, picture on their website. Please call me about Mila. And then she put her phone number.
What?
But she actually tweeted this out. Didn't DM it. But also, like, don't DM your phone number either.
Right. That cracks me up because it just seems so Kathy. Like, she just doesn't even understand technology, social media, nothing. You know, it's like, oh, Kathy, hopefully this is the last time. I heard this isn't the first time she's done that.
Well, also, she responds below the tweet. How do I delete?
Maybe somebody should take her Twitter away from her. Maybe she should hire somebody to do it.
She should focus on emails and texts, not necessarily that.
I do have a question. We skipped over one headline. Kim Richards reveals why she's no longer friends with Brandy. Kim Richards claims that she and Brandy Glanville stopped being friends after Glanville posted photos of Richard following a scary surgery. Now, it goes on to talk about how she asked her to take it down and she didn't take it down. She didn't respond. Do you know what the picture was of?
I was actually about to text Brandy because...
I was just texting with her and I was going to ask her and I forgot.
Well, just ask her right now because it's confusing because when we asked Brandy, she didn't make it that's a different story as well. Like when we asked Brandy on the pod, she was like, you know, something kind of like, it was something about when they were together, something happened and then they haven't talked. I can't exactly remember. So now I'm a little bit
confused.
But
here's the thing with Brandy. Brandy is not a good texter. She does. You can text her and she will respond to you like the following day, or you can text her and she'll respond to you right away. So I could see Brandy getting that text from Kim. I don't think that knowing Brandy, I don't think she would leave it up there.
Oh, hold on. But look, here's something that Brandy wrote. Glanville, however, rebuked Richard's story and claimed the alleged photo was never taken or posted. I love you, Kim Richards 11, but your recollection is off. Please show me that picture that you're talking about, because that never happened. In fact, well after that moment in time, you did my podcast, and when we went into COVID, I even drove you to the emergency room. Hashtag receipt, Glanville tweeted Thursday.
Oh, okay. Then I do believe Brandy.
Yeah. I think they may have just had some issues back and forth, and now there's probably so many
But this makes sense. I vaguely remember Brandy telling me that the last time she saw Kim, she dropped her off at the emergency room. She said she actually dropped her off, but couldn't pick her up because she had
because she was
to
scared
do.
To pick her up because of COVID.
So how could she take a picture?
No, there's the picture incident she's saying happened before this.
Oh.
So
I
want
to know what it's a picture of. Picture of her JJ. Maybe she
broke
her butt or something.
No, because this is before that. Then we get into Erica Jane addresses controversial laxative comment to Crystal on RHOBH. Following the episode, which garnered Erica plenty of backlash on social media, Erica explained her offensive comment and questioning of Crystal, as Crystal reacted to her co-star's seemingly insensitive comment by sharing that statement served as an important reminder to her. I asked Crystal, why haven't you sought help for an eating disorder? Erica recalled while looking back on their conversation on the latest episode of Real Housewives after show. Crystal has told us about it, and she's been very open on Instagram, social media about her eating disorder. And when I was going through my mental health stuff, I reached out to a psychiatrist to help me, according to Erica. The comment she made to Crystal came out of confusion. I reached out and got treated. I couldn't understand why Crystal, when I asked her this, she said no. Erica admitted because Crystal's eating disorder seemed to be occupying so much of her life, Erica found it interesting that Real Housewife castmate was seemingly pushing back on the idea of getting help. If she's struggling this hard with an eating disorder, honey, you have the means, you're educated, you have the access, why not seek professional help? Erica wondered. Erica then admitted that when it came to her offensive comments to Crystal, the statements were made after I had two tequilas. Meanwhile, in her own segment of the Real Housewives after show, Crystal said that she actually has sought treatment and continues to see someone in regard to her eating disorder struggles.
Okay. That just sounds like Erica doesn't believe her.
That's what it sounds like.
Sounds like 100%. She's questioning her being honest.
Yeah. And
what do you think?
I agree. That's what it sounds like. But I think that everybody's always in a tricky situation when
it's hard to
question
judge.
What's going on in somebody else's life. And especially if it comes to mental health or eating disorders, because nothing looks the same.
Right.
Everybody, it presents differently for everybody. So I think you just have to be really careful. The same way you wouldn't want, Garcelle saying that Erica is an alcohol, those implications, all of it. It's just, it's messy when it comes to what's going on in your life in that way.
Well, somebody that's not messy is Miss Phaedra Parks. She addresses the rumors that she is returning to The Real Housewife Atlanta. I would love to see her, but it sounds like Phaedra Parks won't be back to The Real Housewives Atlanta anytime soon. Since her recent appearance on The Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, rumors have been circulating online that the 48, why do they always have to put our ages?
I don't know.
Why? Is that necessary? Every outlet has to put the age. Not that I really care, but what's the point of it? To return to the long-running Bravo series. So Phaedra has shut down that speculation. I would love to see her back on Atlanta. I think she's funny. I'd like to see Eva, too.
I know. I think they're both great. But I feel like Phaedra said she would go on Dubai. Like, she would want to be a permanent on Dubai. I think I read that somewhere.
Well, I think there's a conflict between, obviously, Phaedra and Candy. And as long as they're both on, neither one of them will go on together. I'm making a prediction.
Mm-hmm.
I think Brandy's going to be back on Beverly Hills.
You do?
I just have this gut feeling. I don't know. I even asked her. And she's like, I don't know. Who knows? She goes, I've done every other reality show. Why not? I don't know. I just have this weird feeling. So
why do you feel? Well, Do you feel it because
I just thought so good on Ultimate Girls Trip. She was so good. She's going back on Watch What Happens Live. She was just on it. She's going back on. And I just got this feeling like, I have a feeling she's going to be asked back. I hope she does. I feel like she should have never left Beverly Hills.
Well, I hope she does too. I think she'd be good for the show. And the timing's interesting though, because Kyle recently was doing press in Australia for Hey You or whatever that streaming.
Oh, is that I thought she was just on vacation. I didn't realize.
Well, first she was on vacation, then she ended up in Australia doing that. But it was all over the place that Kyle said she wished if she could have anybody back, she was wished it was me and Brandy. And then all of a sudden Brandy and I are like, we're all over Twitter. I'm like, what's happening? I couldn't figure it out. It was because of Kyle's comments. But I also think that you're right. Right back on to Watch What Happens Live again makes sense. And when I asked on my Instagram who people would most like to cover Orange County with me, Kyle wrote Brandy, but so many other people commented Brandy as well.
Yeah. Yeah. She actually, I think she would be a great person to do it.
So we will see. And if you agree that it should be Brandy,
let us know.
Let us know.
There was actually quite a few housewives that reached out.
I know. A couple of housewives are like me.
You think it has anything to do with we're number one? Yes. Well, let's take a moment. Yes. Yay to the twats.
You know, it was hard for a second to beat that the Laguna Beach podcast with Kristen Cavallari. Like we were
it took us one episode
to get back in the game to number one. So
that was exciting.
That was exciting. And now here we are. Let's take a little break and get into Atlanta.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim, cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes.
When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles, like the made-to-be-seen very sexy push-up bra from the Very Sexy Collection. In on-trend hues like black shine, green, and citron.
For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat.
Because life is better in a bikini. Rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s.
For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage, from full to cheeky to minimal. Now in this season's must-have shades and patterns.
Add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony.
Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table because geek culture is pop culture. And we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back to watch Atlanta. I just watched it this morning because I was so tired last night.
Me too.
So it's fresh on my mind.
Fresh. It's nice when you only have to watch one show. I mean, it's easier. And then you have it so fresh on your mind. Well, there's so much happened. I don't know if I'm going to remember everything.
I know. My notes are a lot today.
I took notes. I got some notes here.
Okay, so it starts out where... you know, Marlo says, you don't get to my house by tomorrow, you can't stay. And then they show like Kenya entering the house, not with a full suitcase, just with like kind
but
of
it was like she was scurrying to get in, like she was hurrying, like I have
there
to be here
at
a certain
time. There was a lot
of
hurrying everywhere this episode.
Yeah, but I'd have to say when Kenya shows up and she asks to see, who was it, Drew's boobs?
Yeah.
Let me see your boobs. And then she says, oh, you got the line, the scar. And I'm like, oh, that's nice to say.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for letting everybody know. I don't know. Maybe she's been open about having a lift, but I have the scar too. So.
But Drew handled it easy. Drew's like, so she handles most everybody but Fatoum pretty well.
Yeah, she came in with big energy.
Big energy. And then you hear Marlo going, Kenya's killing my vibe.
Oh, Marlo. Marlo.
Yeah.
But I do like the fact that Sonya was trying to be the peacekeeper, is what she said. Somebody called her maybe the bone collector. Is that what it's called?
Sheree called her the mini bone collector.
Well, I was called a bone collector by Andy one time on a reunion, and I had no idea what that meant.
Like you're at the one at the end collecting all the bones.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know. I'm like, what do you mean bone collector? What does that mean?
It's not necessarily a compliment.
Not a good thing. No, no.
I mean, for a housewife, it's a pretty good thing. But what I had a hard time with is she didn't really do it in a natural way. Like it was.
She was like going to everybody's room. Like, yeah, okay, this is what happened. And we got to do this. And they need to talk. And I'm like, oh, this is going to backfire in your face.
Waited for after the gym mining or whatever, like did we really need to get into it the second? And then after she says it, she's like Marlo's trying to talk to Kenya, and Kenya's running through the house. It's like chaos in there. The production, like you could see all the crew running around.
How about when production is going upstairs because she was yelling like get out of my face or something like that, so they thought it like a fight was broken out. And so you see them running up the stairs and the cameras are following the cameras. I thought that was pretty. I love that kind of shit.
Yeah, I mean that was a total shit show. You can tell these two are not going to see eye to eye. There's a little bit of a break in the fighting so that Candy is giving advice to Sheree about her brand. She by Sheree, you know, first Kenya tries to give her advice. She's not necessarily seems that into it. And then Candy starts, and then she's like, you know, Candy has so many businesses. I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. Well, I think she said like a really good point. Like you can't have a $1 million business on a bootleg budget. And that's true. You can't. Yeah. When you have $1 million business, you're putting millions of dollars into marketing. And I don't think that's happening with Sheba Sheree.
Do you think we're going to see Sheba Sheree by the end of the season?
God, I hope so. I mean, we've only been waiting 13 years or something. I mean, how long does it take to get a brand up and going? I mean, I feel like at this point, if it does come up, it might be a flop.
Yeah. And yeah, so then that happens. And then we are right back to Marlo asks Kenya to speak with her. And Kenya says, not in that tone, while walking away from her. Marlo asks how much ass kissing she has to do. And Kenya says she won't talk to her one-on-one. Marlo tells her not to put Michael and William in her mouth and tells her she is not wanted.
Oh, gosh. I have a question.
Yes.
So Marlo is dripped in every designer. She is definitely the Dorit of Beverly Hills. Every designer on her body.
Right.
Every label, right? Why can't she hire somebody to come into her house and help her? I mean, she virtually is a single mom to two boys that obviously have gone through a lot. So there's probably a lot of trouble there. But why not bring somebody in, like a specialist that can help, maybe live there, help her, be a second set of eyes, hands.
Or just go to groups like family therapy. Yeah. Or, you know, obviously the, I mean, what she's saying is the boys have been through enough trauma. They don't now need their names brought up, but she actually brought their
names
up.
She brought their names up and she's the one that said, I told him to get the F out. Like,
yeah,
you know, everybody's trying to give you advice on it. Maybe you should take it. But like I said, I don't understand why she can't bring somebody into her house.
And
like a nanny McPhee.
But also, like, if it's weighing this heavily on her, like, what is she doing right now to make it better for them? Like, so she made, let's say she made like a quick bad decision or poor decision by having them go to the sisters as a wake up call or whatever it is, it was some form of punishment. But like, what is she doing now? Because coming here, and she keeps saying this is a trip about me to make me feel better. How? Come on.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Yeah.
But then this line comes out and honestly, my mouth was like that. Kenya starts to get annoyed and frustrated because Marlo is going on. And then this one comes out. I am an icon. You are an ex-con.
Ex-con. Oh my God. I have that written down too. That is the line of the episode. Bitch, I'm an icon. You're an ex-con.
It's going to keep getting worse. Then they have like this little voiceover, like robot. That's like one hour in the
truck. What is that? Now, I have a question for you. So I feel like Marlo knows she contradicts herself constantly. And she goes out there and says, I told him to get the F out and all that. Do you think she does this because she knows she's going to get backlash and it's going to be good TV? Like, is she trying too hard to make good TV?
I feel like she must be trying.
She's
not trying as hard as Fatoum. Fatoum is honestly, she's trying to rip peaches out of people's mouths at this point.
She wants that peach bad.
She wants that peach, but she was a little bit, she did look a little sloppy today. Like she was like, you could tell she came in hot.
Yeah. Did she pull that bone out of her purse?
She brought it from home, but then they show the producers being like, do you have a dog? And she's like, I did have a dog. Like she doesn't realize probably what the question's stemming from. So good.
Oh my gosh.
But also like, what does Fatoum even care about Drew? Like, I don't get it.
I don't get it either. But you know what I did notice as somebody that's suffering 1 week on a broken toe.
Yeah.
Sheree had a boot on last episode.
Oh,
This episode, she's jumping up and down on a trampoline.
Oh, she was.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't even walk flat. I think I screwed myself up worse wearing heels for that split second in New York.
Of course you did. I told you that was going to happen. But, you know, I hate to be a know-it-all.
I know. But the fact to jump up and down, I would die. Die.
Yeah. But other than that, she's not too much in the drama. She does call Kenya a shade assassin.
Oh, gosh.
Then
how about when they go into that rock mining, whatever? It reminded me of Knott's Berry Farm, the gold back in the day that you could
Oh, yeah, yeah. They have that at Zumars in Orange County. My kids actually really love
it. And so that's kind of what it reminded me of. It's kind of weird. But how about when Kenya comes in and takes a Trump sign down and gives it to the guy? I'm like.
And then the guy, I thought he was going to have some sort of reaction. He's just like.
I know. Charlie. Charlie was like, I'm like, oh, no, that's not a good idea. That's not a good idea. He's going to freak. But he was just like, didn't say a word.
He didn't say. He's like, I don't have time to get.
His ass said it all.
A little bit much for me to be fighting with anybody here. Yeah, that was pretty good when she took that.
Then how are we going to keep the energy positive is right up there with, I hope there's no drama today.
I hope there's no drama at my event. Oh, no. Why would you do this on my kid's birthday? Oh, my God.
Drama.
But then this is the line that, what is she, oh, Marlo continues to say she really wanted this to be a time for her to recharge. And I just want to say this is just, okay. If you want a time to recharge, it's not on a reality television show on a full cast trip with extra friends involved.
Right.
You want a time to recharge, you can take that on your Sunday, Monday days off.
Recharge from what? What is she recharging from?
I absolutely have no idea, but my point is, come on. And then sending everybody home?
I swear she does it for the camera. I swear.
Well, I mean, I did send everybody home a day early from my beach house.
Why?
Because.
And why did you feel you had the power to do that?
Because it was in my home.
but why'd you do it?
I did it because it was my first season and everyone was coming and being such like a stick in the mud about everything that, and I didn't necessarily really want to have everybody there anyway. And I just was like, this is miserable. Like now we're supposed to go on this big bike ride. Nobody wants to go on it. Everybody's fighting. Then after that, we're supposed to do this lunch and then come back. We had done a workout. Nobody. I was like, why am I putting all this effort in at my house for everyone to bitch and complain about it? Plus I was already like walking on eggshells with Erica. And it was like, I had already had a little cry. I was just,
wait, done. Did Erica not sleep at your house? Do I remember that?
Yeah, she didn't sleep at my house. But I wasn't mad that she didn't sleep at my house. I was mad that she pretended to sleep at my house on camera and then off camera left.
Oh.
But they never showed that because
Sleep? Let me guess, the montage?
No, she didn't. She was like at the Doubletree right down the street. Like she didn't go to like a night. She had all the reason in the world she could have left. And from the beginning, I said, anybody that doesn't want to stay here is welcome to. But I just didn't, to me, what all of us were upset about was that she tried to make it look like on camera that she slept over.
Gotcha.
I was like, if you're not going to sleep over, just on camera show. Bye. See you guys tomorrow.
Yeah. Be authentic.
Yes. So that was what I was upset about. But that's what I couldn't necessarily portray. Because then it's breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah. And they don't like doing that.
But then Marlo kicks everyone out and says, thanks, but no thanks for making me feel better.
Marlo's exhausting.
Exhausting. And then saying somebody else came and made it about them and not about me.
Oh, geez.
These girls' trips should be about all of you guys, regardless if you're just there to celebrate somebody. It's not everything's going to be all about you all the time.
I agree.
That was that episode. Then scenes for next week. They show Marlo being emotional over the boys. Then they show Candy and her husband doing wills with their kids.
Oh, that's the worst.
Looking forward to doing.
I did that a couple years ago. It's horrible.
And then I think Kenya calls Sheree old. And then she responds, I'm old and cold.
She's got the best.
You better hope you look this good.
Okay.
Like
so
that.
I want to talk about the will and all that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you have this, but I have a paper that I have stashed in my house and it has every phone number that needs to be, you know, if something were to happen to Eddie and I, like when we travel together, I let my kids know where this paper is. So if anything were to happen, they would not be left with, oh shit, who do I call? What do I do? Like, they have all the information on it. Do you do that when you travel with Edwin? And do you give it to somebody? I mean, I know obviously there's a will, but sometimes it takes a while to get certain information.
I have like an emergency thing, like who to call, who to contact in case of emergency. But I did just read, now I can't remember who it is that posted it, but maybe it was on TikTok or something, but it was like the best thing that somebody's mom had passed away. And the best thing that she did for them was when she passed, the first thing they wanted to do was call their mom and ask them what to do. And they don't have their mom. So right. She had left envelopes for all of the kids with all of their information they could possibly ever need, lawyers, doctors, blah, 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 friends. And so, you know, their will, and it just made everything easier because then they didn't have to sort things through between siblings. There was no, because that's where a lot of the fighting happens.
Yeah.
But I'm ashamed to say I don't even have one. So I have like a joint thing with Edwin, but when we did ours, I didn't have any money. So like, I didn't really have anything to lose or to gain other than my, you know, of course, obviously my family.
Well, if you both die, the money's not going to matter. I just, for me, it's all about like, I don't
know, but the money does for my kid. Now that I have money, I want to, I don't want to put it in a situation that all my kids have to fight over figuring out where it goes, because
so
no matter.
So you do or you do not have a will?
I do not. That says for my money or anything like that. I'm on Edwin's will.
Okay. Well, it should be both your, like a living trust or something where you.
It is, but all our money stuff's separate.
Okay. Well, it shouldn't be in your will. So you can say this money goes here, that money goes there.
That's what I'm saying.
This kid gets 25%. This kid gets nothing.
Dove, you wake up at 3 a.m. again, you're out.
You're out of the will.
That's my point. I need to redo it. And for anybody that hasn't redone it, like, I mean, because we did ours 10 years ago.
Yeah. We did ours when we were living in the Coto house. And I remember it was just such a miserable, like such a hard situation to sit there and talk about your death. And then it's like, well, who's going to be not a power attorney, but like beneficiary, like the one that, I think it's beneficiary, the one that gets everything and then they have all the information. That would be my dad. And then he's like, well, maybe I should do my aunt. I'm like, no, maybe you shouldn't. Like it's
well, like, yeah, we definitely have on there that it's Edwin's brother and my sister.
Yeah.
So they're both like have the kind of behaviors. Well,
they have the control over it, I guess is what it's called. Maybe it's beneficiary. I'm not sure. But yeah.
Nice and depressing topic.
Yeah. Okay. Let's bring that up with some fan thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. First, if you had to pick sides, Marlo or Kenya?
I'm going to go with Kenya.
But do you think, and I'm actually
sides
with Kenya
on
too,
what?
But
you were just on this episode? Sides on this
that's
episode?
What, I mean, I don't know. I'm not the person that wrote it in.
Yeah, so. I mean, normally I'm on Kenya's side, but she came in really hot. Really hot. And I feel like she knew what she was doing. She didn't want to give even like an inch to Marlo. Like she wouldn't even give her a second of respect. But then if you're going to do that, why would you show up to an event at a house, you know, that she arranged? So I just felt like she could have been a little bit easier going on Marlo.
I think she could have just been like, let's drop this for now, talk about it later. And they could have waited till the dinner that night to get through it. But she came in poking the bear.
I know.
Like if you poke somebody when they're already not doing well. I think it was definitely intentional. But I also, when it comes to Marlo, I'm exhausted by her.
I know, I am too. I'm normally on Kenya's side, but somebody asked, why are none of the girls forcing Marlo and Kenya to talk through their differences? And I felt like Sonia did that. She tried to get them to talk.
No, she did it behind their backs. She didn't say to Kenya, okay, I'm going to go tell all of this to
that's true.
Marlo now. She went over there and that's what spurred the fight. Been sitting there
and her saying, why don't you guys talk about this?
Yeah.
So actually, now that I think of it, Sonia made it worse.
So of course Sonia made
it worse.
She wasn't a peacemaker. She was
a
bone collector.
Yeah, she's a bone collector. Sonia, you're a bone collector. I love it.
I know. We love a bone collection.
Keep collecting those bones, Sonia.
I don't like to particularly use the word mean, but Marlo was so mean to Kenya not letting her in the car. I mean, all of it is so ridiculous to me.
I think all of it was pretty mean.
all of it. I mean, it was a total waste of time. It made the episode drag, in my opinion. Because then all of a sudden, now they're back in the trampoline, they're doing this. And then for a second, you see them kind of laughing together.
The trampoline, that cracked me up.
It's every single one of the fan thoughts is about Marlo and Kenya, because that's all we talked about this. I mean, that's all that really happened this entire episode.
Yeah, it's all. Is Marlo in the wrong, or is Kenya dirty? She went to ruin Marlo's trip. Do you think she went to ruin the trip? Do you think she just went to...
I think she went... I don't know if it was necessarily to ruin it, but I think she knew that it was going to affect Marlo.
Yeah, I think she understood her assignment. Let's just leave it there.
That being said, Marlo also had to have known that was coming. And if that's the case, why are you so dead set on having her stay there?
Right.
It's
I don't know. It was a good episode, though. I liked
it. It was a good episode.
Really good episode.
And before we close out, we have a couple of fan questions for us. Oh, the first one's actually just a fan thought. Erica Jane should co-host while Tamara's gone in OC. Okay. Would I recommend the Morpheus 8 laser? Have you had that done, Tam?
No, I have not. I have very fair, freckly skin, and a lot of lasers are just way too invasive for my skin. In fact, today at 12:30, I'm getting an IPL, which is probably not the smartest thing to do
before
a trip. But if you ever had an IPL, like the first day, you look like you have a sunburn, and then all of a sudden, all the brown spots on your face just literally dry up and fall off. But it's not, I can wear makeup, so it might be a little brown because I have some brown spots on the side of my face, but I come back and I'm in the mix of things. So I need to, like, it's the only time I had.
Yeah. So, well, I loved the Morpheus 8, but what I can say is the people that I've known that have gotten it when they've been awake and it hasn't been, it was tacked on to my neck lift. Yeah. Like the doctor said, do you want to get the Morpheus 8 while you're under? Because it can be painful.
Painful. Most lasers are very painful.
But this, I'm so grateful because when I woke up from my neck lift, the most pain I was in was my skin from the Morpheus. Right. And so if you're getting some sort of other procedure done, let me ask you a question.
So it's burning and then swelling, right? And then it's like a whole process. It takes like a week or so.
Oh, yeah. I was bright. I mean, I'm red in general, but now, I was bright red.
Is that different than the CO2 laser?
I'm not sure.
There's so many lasers out there. That one, my face, I was swole up to like a pumpkin. Like I was so big and red and raw. So I'm not big on lasers, but IPL.
I do strongly recommend it though, because I've known a game changer, but it does hurt. The next one is, what is one thing that you and Eddie and me and Edwin do to keep our relationship fresh? I can do mine first while you
go
think
ahead.
If you want.
Go ahead.
So one thing that Edwin and I stopped doing during the pandemic was we'd go to classes to get workout classes together. And during the pandemic, it just became it wasn't happening. And I would just work out back here and he would go do whatever. And we started doing that again. And we're having so much fun. Like it lit up that like competition that we have with each other. And then we spend time in the car talking about our days. And so it's been fun. And I we penciled into our calendar. We're like Monday and Wednesday. These are the 2 days we're doing it. And it really helps set the tone for the week for us. So we're on the same page with what we're doing.
I had a friend that used to schedule sex on certain days. They for sure were going to have sex to keep things.
Well, you know, that was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills that we do that.
Wait, you do that?
Yeah, but we don't schedule it like a day. It's not like Wednesday. But
no, this was like every Wednesday and every Thursday we have sex if we want to or not, because that's just a way of connecting. Because as you know, especially as you get older too, like you get busy, you're like, oh, sleeping's more important at this point.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, like, wow, has it been like over a week or so? Like, so I think that's a good idea. We don't do that. But I don't know. Eddie and I mean, I don't want to sound obnoxious. We don't really have too many hiccups in our relationship. And we do a lot of things together. Every Sunday we run. Well, I can't now. So yesterday, he's like, this is the first Sunday we run our 4 to 5 mile loop. You know, we always work out together. I don't know. Maybe I should start scheduling the sex. I don't know. Vacations are really a time where we kind of regroup too, because it's just us and there's no outside. We don't have to worry about the CBD business, the gym, none of that stuff. We just
you can be present. Us.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he wants to have sex every single day. And then I come home with a bladder infection.
Well, can't wait. And why don't you take your cranberry before you go?
Yep.
And then last one, I think we have time for. Oh, no, we have two more. Will Teddy be. I hate asking them about myself. I feel like such a douche lord. Will Teddy be making an appearance on Real Housewives of Orange County? Ask Tamara's friend.
Well, I hope so.
Oh, for the love.
I hope so.
As Kim Richards is saying, you never say never, but.
Never say never.
You know, my track record wasn't so great when I was on Orange County, in Orange County filming BH. So, and then the next one is solely for you, Tam. On the level of petty, who was the most petty, like ranking first to last of Girls Trip?
Petty?
Petty.
Oh, God.
Sorry. It's not my question.
Petty. Maybe Jill Zarin. She got upset because nobody wanted to F her.
Okay. Jill Zarin, number one. Who's number two? Petty. I'll just make you do the top three petties.
I don't, there really wasn't anybody that was like really petty. I mean, Jill is exhausting. Petty. Well, maybe Dorinda with the not eating in the room.
I was going to say that my DMs blew up about that.
Like, yeah.
The fact that she went for Tamara so hard and then they showed the pizza. Oh, no, what we didn't talk about?
What?
How, what's his name has gone completely banana trees.
Yeah, evidently he likes talking on his social media, which isn't very smart for him.
So Marco, I'll just talk about this part, Tam, you don't need to, but Marco went on and did all these posts saying like how inappropriate it was.
He was our butler.
Yeah, the butler on Real Housewives Girls Trip, that the women were, you know, or that Brandy ripped a shirt off or whatever it was. But he's gone on and on. It was like a full day on social media talking about it. And in my interpretation, is what happened is he watched the episode back and he's married and his wife was like, what the F? So now he's all doing, he himself, he's on a Kathy Hilton damage control tour.
Damage sympathy, yeah. Yeah, he said that he least connected with me, but had more issues with, the one he had the most issues with was Dorinda and Vicky. But I'm like, least connected with her. I'm like, I wasn't there, like I,
why? Because nice I wasn't ripping your shirt off?
No, I know. I'm like, what does that mean? But whatever. I mean,
but he was either okay. Way, if you sign on to do those kind of things, he could have effortlessly taken himself out of that situation.
Well, I'm sure it's not a good look and I'm sure people are not happy about it. If you know what I mean.
I agree.
Yeah.
But on that note, Tam, I can't believe you're not going to be here for me to cover.
I know. So I have to run some errands. I got to pack. I'm going to try to stuff as much as I can into my carry-on. Now, let me ask you a question. First class, I think I'm right. Eddie said, oh, I don't know. So you can carry, like, I usually will do my big, like, tote, like my, you know, the big Louis Vuitton tote.
Yeah.
And then my carry-on, which is a certain size, no more than 22 inches, I found out, because I ordered the biggest one I could find that you can use as carry-on.
Yes.
So I'm waiting for that to come today. But then I got like a tote duffel bag that slides on. Is that my personal item? Can I use that as my personal item?
Yes. But then you need to put your purse inside.
Inside
of that.
That. And, okay. That's what Eddie's like. Oh, it's not. And I go, I think I'm just going to put my purse inside.
Yeah. But as long as your purse fits inside of it, you should be able to have the small roller with the thing.
Well, I'm afraid to put all my good clothes into my suitcases if I don't get them for 2 weeks. I mean,
I would just figure out a way to put it all in one.
I'm going to try. I'm going to try.
You can do it.
And then, what you know, we're the reason why we're going is because
it's the wedding.
It's a wedding. So Eddie's good friend, Rafi, is getting married in Lake Como. So that's at the end of our trip, the very end. I think it's like August 1st or something like that. So I just want to make sure I have my dresses because it's a big event. It's like 3 days of formal wear.
Oh yeah, that's where you.
Which means 3 days of heels. Hopefully by then it's much better.
You're gonna be crushing it.
I know, but it should be fun. But it's hot. I've always said I'm not going back to Italy in August because it's so.
Here you are. Oh, you know what this is? World's smallest violin playing a song for you.
I'll be here
in the 109 degree valley.
But I've never been to Switzerland, so I'm super excited about that. And quite honestly, I've never been to this part of Italy either. I was hoping because it was close to the water, it'd be cooler. But no. No.
Oh, Tam. No. So what date are you back? So when will we be podcasting again?
I'm back August 4th.
All right. We'll have the best time. I miss you already.
I might be able to squeeze something in, maybe just like a check-in or something while I'm in Italy. I think, what is it, like 9 hours ahead?
Well, I'll work around your schedule, Tam. Okay.
But I'll bring my phone just in case I can pop in and, you know, give a little update.
Love it. All right. Okay. Have the best time. Talk to you when you're back.
Bye.
Or 5,000 text messages between now and then.
Yeah, right.
Bye.
Bye.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, was good!
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.